Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration is taken from the fourth chapter of Matthew. I think Eve kind of got blindsided, didn't she? The serpent, Moses tells us, was crafty or shrewd. That Hebrew word means that you have thought it through. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, that word shrewd occurs 11 times in the Old Testament, 8 of them in the book of Proverbs, where it's translated prudent. It means that you've thought it through. Satan had thought it through. But Eve, I don't think ever saw it coming. Why would she? I think if anybody lived a Pollyanna existence, it was Eve. And if you're familiar with Kitty Litt, Pollyanna Whittier was a character in three novels written by Eleanor H. Porter about 100 years ago, and none of you have ever heard of her. But you do know about Pollyanna from the 1960 Disney movie. The internet says Pollyanna has become a byword for someone who, like the title character, has an unfailingly optimistic outlook, a subconscious bias toward the positive is often described as the Pollyanna principle. So you don't think Eve had an optimistic outlook, a bias toward the positive? That was her world, right? That was her entire world before the fall. She had it all. She had all God's creation set up, placed here for her and for her husband, who was a good man. Actually, Eve's husband was not only good, but Adam was actually perfect. So was she. Two actually perfect people. Probably a pretty good marriage, wouldn't you think? God. We find God in verse 8, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, wanting to converse with his highest creation. And the animals in paradise. These days, the woods are a dangerous and violent place for animals. They eat each other. Not so in paradise. In paradise, the animals ate plants, not each other, and so did Adam and Eve. And with all this at their disposal of creation, and with God on their side, yeah, I'm sure they had an optimistic outlook, a bias towards the positive. So that when the snake walked up to her and began to speak to her, how could Eve have imagined what was going to happen next with the serpent? The first appearance of evil in the world began with the first lie. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat of any tree of the garden'?" Close, but no cigar. Made God sound like a real jerk. Put all this fruit here and these nuts and these dates, but you can't eat it? What a jerk. Of course, God did not say that. Of course, Eve recovered, said what was true. She said, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Of course. But for the first time, right after the first lie, was born the first doubt about God. Doubt about what God actually said. And there's a lot of that goes around, you know. Did God really say that? Does the Bible really say that? Are you sure reading that right? Fast forward to a few thousand years and here's Jesus. There was no blindsiding Jesus, was there? By the time the Spirit led him out into the wilderness, Jesus knew what was coming. He was led by the Spirit for the express purpose that he should be tempted by Satan. And Jesus saw it coming a mile away and he was ready for it. And it kind of shows the father of lies tries to put doubt into the head of the Son of Man by opining, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to food. Do you remember the visual last Sunday, the last Sunday after the Epiphany, the transfiguration, that spectacle, lots of bright and shiny things? And do you remember the audio, what the voice from the cloud said last week? The same thing the voice from above said on the first Sunday after Epiphany, the baptism of Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And now, right on the heels of that announcement by God, we have Satan saying to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Somebody says that, they mean, I don't think you are. I don't think you are. And the command to make the stones into food sounds a lot like the kid on the playground who says, prove it. If, prove it. I think the most hungry I ever was, and I'm hungry a lot still. I didn't know why at the time I was so hungry, but it was that growth spurt in high school, 7 inches in 2 years. I was hungry all the time. But fortunately, the old McDonald's was just down the hill from Rock Island High School. So if I could make it to the end of the day, give me a couple of double cheeseburgers, plain, a couple of them, please, quickly. And I think if you would have presented me with a pile of stones and told me I could turn it into a bunch of double cheeseburgers, these days with extra ketchup, extra pickle and onion, I would have been tempted to do that. Some of the Lutherans want to say that Eve shouldn't have been talking to Satan in the first place, that it was Adam's place. Oh, you mean it's okay for Adam to talk to Satan? I don't think any of us should be talking to Satan ever. And by the way, Adam was there. He was probably as blindsided as Eve was blindsided. The concept of sin and evil, which was to them unknown. Who could imagine such a thing as sin and evil before the fall? But Adam was there. In verse 6 of Genesis 3, it says that Eve gave some of the fruit to her husband. And then the prepositional phrase is her husband who was with her. Who was with her? With, to pull out your grammar, is a locative preposition. It tells us that Adam was located with Eve. It's not a preposition of movement. It doesn't say that Adam went to Eve after she took the fruit. He was with her. He stood there like the technical theological term. He stood there like a lump on a log while she dug herself a hole and she kept digging. She says, God actually said, we can't eat of that one tree or touch it. But God did not say you can't touch it. Eve joining in, making God to be kind of a jerk. If we eat of that one tree, we will die, Eve says. And she's right about that. And now the big lie, you will not die. You will not die. In fact, there's a reason why God doesn't want you to eat from that tree. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And they must have wondered, this evil of which you speak. Exactly, what is this evil of which you speak? The hook was that she could be like God. She could be like God. And she took it hook, line, and sinker. You know, people know that there's something wrong with the world. And it doesn't take a genius to see that man is what's wrong with the world. You don't have to be religious to know that evil is a thing. A few years ago, when the religion of peace was storming through Iraq and Syria doing what they were doing, Americans went and fought against it, what they called often pure evil. And you don't have to be a Christian even to know about evil when you see it. You may have heard it commanded to you that you follow the science. Follow the science. I thought it was kind of a no-brainer, but it started in earnest during the thing, and I have detected a pattern. I have detected a pattern with follow the science. If you want me to actually follow the science, I do that all the time. The Christians invented the modern scientific movement, and personally, I kind of like science. I'm married to a chemist. But when I hear follow the science, I've detected a pattern. It means, roughly translated, shut up and do what I say. Follow the science means shut up and do what I say. Some of my youngsters at Grand Mound noticed that the pastor said shut up in the sermon. Notice the pastor's quoting other people. You shouldn't say that. Other people do. Shut up and do what I say. There's nothing scientific about that. But you want to know the people who are really have their heads on straight in this world? The people who have their heads on straight in this world are smart people who actually like to learn new things. And the smartest, the most head straight on people are the Christians. We know the answers to the basic questions of life. How did we get here? What are we doing here? Where are we going? That helps you to understand a lot of things in the world. And there are a lot of smart Christian people here who like to learn new things and who have their heads on straight as an arrow. Question. How did language come to be? Language. If you think about it, the best explanation for how language came to be is that, like the Bible says, right after the flood, God observed the humans once again being mischievous. They were building a tower. We would call it projecting their power. Like the Chinese do when they build islands, actual islands in the South China Sea. It's because they get their three aircraft carriers at garage sales have to do something. So these men who built the tower said, let us make a name for ourselves. That's why they built that tower. So that small group of powerful men, they would have been whittled down to one. It's where every oligarchy ends, wanted to rule everybody. You may have heard of one world government. It's a real thing. So God made language so that nobody could do that. And so far, it's worked. So the alternative explanations for the, it's now down to 6,000 languages in the world. A lot of them very different from each other. Those explanations, I've read them, they don't make much sense. Oh, and those fossil fuels that have been powering civilization for the past couple hundred years, where do they come from, those fossil fuels? I'm watching Black Gold again. It's on the antenna. It's these guys drilling for oil in West Texas. Oil, if you remember from high school chemistry, comes from organic substances, mostly plants and animals. And these guys on Black Gold, they drilled down a couple miles to get to that oil. So all that organic material crushed down to form coal, oil, where'd it come from? How'd it get a couple miles under the ground? Well, the best scientific answer is from the flood, where a lot of organic living things were killed. And the flood also explains the ocean-going fish fossils found in the middle of Kansas. Evil. Where did evil come from? And more importantly, how did it get into this world? 100 years ago, people were told to follow the science. Follow the science of eugenics. Follow the science. The idea was that there was an evil gene, and if we could get evil people to stop reproducing like criminals, that's eugenics. That was the science 100 years ago about how to deal with evil. And today, a lot of people find a lot of interesting ways to explain evil comes from an angel the Old Testament calls Lucifer, who got too big for his britches. It was not good enough for Lucifer to be just an angel. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be God. Now that same fallen angel, Satan, comes to Eve with the same offer. You want to be like God? Eat the fruit. Be like God. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and it was not a pretty sight. Blindsided like they were, the first glimpse of evil. What to do? What to do? Let's go hide. God wants to talk to you. I want to talk to God right now. It is written. That's what you say when Satan commands you to do something God has not commanded you to do. God does not make food out of stones. God makes food out of the earth, the things in the earth, water, light, seeds, miracles given by him to sustain life and living. But that's not even the most important kind of food, Jesus says, that kind of food. More important, man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I have good news for you. This does not necessarily mean that you have to memorize huge amounts of the Bible. If you want to do that, that's fine. Proclaiming to Satan or the culture that it is written means that you understand Christianity, the religion taught in the Bible. In fact, if you're going to quote the Bible wrongly, like Satan did, maybe it's best not to quote it at all. And if people are going to quote the Bible to score political or theological points, so Satan does that. It is written, and he got it wrong. Took him up to the top of the temple, about as high as some of the tall buildings downtown. Said to jump. Isn't it written, Satan said. Actually, he misquotes the psalmist. And they both knew what he was doing. And Jesus says again, it is written. It is written. Finally took him up to a high mountain, showed him a lot of acreage and said, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And that whole thing is twisted on several levels. It is written. So I assume that you have temptations to sin. I know I do. And you can handle it like Eve handled it. And that was a disaster. Or you can handle it like Jesus, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. There are consequences for sin, right? For Eve, her consequence is that she and all women will have pain in childbirth. Adam, who stood there like a lump on a log, it's why life is so hard. That's another thing people seem to know. Life is hard. Why does it have to be like that? Well, because of Adam. Because of Adam. But life will not always be hard, and one day the pain of any kind will cease. The consequences for the serpent, he had his legs taken out from under him, which makes it harder to move about. and you're going to eat dust all the days of your life. Also to the servant, I will put enmity, conflict, enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And we see that prophecy begin to play out here in the wilderness. Enmity between Jesus, the seed of Eve, and Satan, spawn of Satan. The wilderness, where Jesus went to fight with, to be tempted by Satan, and he wins. And that's kind of important, isn't it? That he wins. He did not sin. And for his entire life, whenever he was tempted, he never gave in. He always won out. And what does that mean for us? Well, Paul thinks that it means this. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. The first Adam brought death. The second Adam, Jesus, brings life. Some people think that what Adam did in the garden should stay in the garden. It's not fair that we should have to pay for Adam's sin. Well, firstly, if it had been any of us, we would have done exactly what Eve did, exactly what Adam did. Secondly, and more to the point, we actually are who we are. We are sinners. And we sin in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. And what's not fair is for Jesus to take your place on the cross. The one who didn't have any sin to be punished for sin, for your sin. That's not fair, but he does. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Yep, Adam and Eve, they really made a mess of it, didn't they? God's creation, they made a mess of it. And since Adam and Eve, we have continued, and by now it's a pretty large mess out there, isn't it? And temptation, you would think that after all this time we would see it coming. Sometimes we do. And when we fail, Jesus, the writer to the Hebrews says, was tempted in every way as we are, and yet without sin, and his righteousness becomes our righteousness by faith. I see Monkey Joe's left Davenport. Talking about Monkey Joe's 10 years ago. I think I took my granddaughter there. But it's gone now. Used to be up by Sam's. Got one in Appleton or St. Louis. I was talking about Monkey Joe's because we were in there, and I noticed that these kids are running all around, and they're all shickered up, and there must be a lot of accidents here, and there were. We saw a kid spill a drink right on the floor. What a mess. So one of the referees, I think they called him, came out, took that panel out of the floor, took it away, brought a new, brand new, clean, white panel, and put it there. That's what Jesus does for us. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.